Good morning. God's peace to you all, and it's good to be here. It's kind of funny, I was sharing with Holly in the kitchen, that, you know, oftentimes we forget that pastors are human. Actually, you might not forget so much, but I do. But anyways, I was kind of a little bit crabby this morning, believe it or not, and bumping about everything. My suit didn't fit right, my hair was bad, everything was bad. I sound like, you know, my wife says I sound like her. Well, not even her, but my daughter. But the fact of it is, I was trying not to say women so I didn't offend anybody. But anyways, it's kind of like, you know, all the joy was taken out of my morning and grumping around about everything. And I get up here to light the candles and the joy candle doesn't have a wick. So, you know, we praise God, we have peace, we have hope. And we got to skip joy for the morning, but we have love, which gives us that joy, right? So maybe God's speaking to me. Our sermon text for this fourth Sunday of Advent will be taken from the Gospel of Luke. And actually, even this morning, I was chasing around because the Lord laid something different on my heart, and I'm going to do this text, but in a total different way than I thought I was going to. So anyways, if I didn't say good morning to you this morning, I'm sorry. I was busy trying to answer to what I felt God leading me to do. So anyways, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, we're going to begin at verse 26, we're going to read through verse 36, and if you are able, please rise for the reading of the Gospel. St. Luke, chapter 1, beginning at verse 26, reading in Jesus' name. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, and the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw it, she was troubled at the saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I have not known a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. And therefore also that holy thing which is born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. Amen. Please be seated. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would be with us as we look at your word this morning, that you would strengthen us and encourage us in and through it. We pray that you would sanctify us in the truth, for your word is truth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sure if we've lived to be any age, we've heard this story. We've heard this great account where this young woman in reality is told of such a miraculous thing to take place. And this miraculous thing would definitely be a heavy load for somebody. It would be a great burden on at least the psyche. In other words, now in a culture that does not accept any monkey business, doesn't accept anyone straying outside the bounds of marriage, is told that she is going to receive a child. She even comes very straightforward and she says, How can this be? Because I've never been with a man. She is engaged, betrothed to Joseph. Now this engagement is a lot stronger than what we count in this day and age. Nowadays, we might go to the respect of asking, you know, the father for the bride's hand, and then we go and we give this ring, and we make this kind of promise with the ring. I don't know how many of us actually sign a contract, or how many of us make a public statement promising to be only with this one. This marriage contract was very serious. I would say it was so serious, it was like, in our day and age, marriage. Because this is exactly what it does. The two families got together and they agreed that these individuals would be married. And they signed a contract. And the groom's father, parents, would give a gift to the brides as kind of a dowry, a down payment. So all of this was in place. And so now when you turn around and you understand here, the bride is found, the bride is promised, and the contract has been signed and the gift has been given. And then she is told that she's going to have a child. Now we may not think very highly in this area because we are so watered down in our culture where this kind of stuff can take place, and we say, well, we messed up, we move on. You go your way, I'll go my way. It doesn't work in this society. Really, the way that this would be handled, and even by the rabbinical law, is actually to bring this woman out to be tried and to be found guilty and then to be stoned to death. This would be her demise. Can you imagine the fear for a very young girl to be facing something like this? See, and this is the problem. There is so much fear in this world. There's so much fear that actually oftentimes that's probably the feeling that we know the best. And maybe I'm wrong in this, and maybe I'm the only one that has this problem, but I highly doubt it. Because if you look at the way we live our life in society, we are always taking precautions to preserve oneself, whether it be financial, whether it be in health, whether it be in other issues of our life. We are taking steps to protect ourselves, working on fear. And this is the thing. This is Christmas season. This is the Advent season. This is the season of peace, of hope, of joy, if it would light, and of love. This is what the church stands for. This is the proclamation that we bring to a world. This is a proclamation that stands bold in this world to live not in fear, but in peace, in hope, in joy, and love. That we can be encouraged because God in reality has secured our eternal security for us. He has done something so great that He has sent this Son into the world that He may take our place and that we may live in victory above and beyond all the circumstances. This is the Advent season. And so when we turn around and we look at what is being spelled out here by Luke, he talks very openly. He says, in the sixth month, because we just dealt with previously in this chapter, if we had read it, with Zechariah and Elizabeth, that now she was in her sixth month. And this was in reality a woman that was called barren, where there was no hope. But yet with God, there is always hope. And we understand that she will give birth to John. And John will be the forerunner to Christ. What a powerful ministry. And so now, Gabriel, he goes to this one woman. And he talks with her, he speaks with her, and it gives a great indication. She was always already accounted for. She already was in this contract. And now, he tells her, he says, "Hail, thou that art highly favored." Highly favored. It is such an amazing thing when we turn around. Us Lutherans, you know, we've kind of done something a little bit wrong. We've done something a little wrong because we live in fear of some of our older roots. And we've broken away from a lot of the traditions which we believe to be tradition within the old roots. And I'm going back to Luther. And I'm speaking very much when he was, in reality, a monk. We broke away from that fearing that other denominations give too much respect and reverence to Mary. And oftentimes we have a tendency as human beings to flaw everything that's been given to us. But it does not mean that Mary was not highly favored. We need to remember that. That God looked upon her and she was highly favored. But the funny part about this is when we want to distance ourselves from this, we often want to distance ourselves from the favoring of God in our life. If we look at the understanding of this word, highly favored, it really means to be accepted. Or the other word that could be used here is the heart of Christianity. It is grace. So you could say that God has looked at you and He has found acceptance in you. Or God has looked at you and He has found grace for you, unmerited favor. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is how God looks upon us through the finished work of Jesus Christ. We are highly favored. And you have to admit, to be chosen out of all the people of Israel, that's a pretty high calling. And it's about time as Lutherans that we stand up and we give reverence and respect, not for what Mary does, but what God has done through Mary. And it's about time that we remember that. Now don't get me wrong. I do not believe that I need to appeal to Mary to appeal to Jesus so Jesus can appeal to God. That's not what I believe. But I do believe that God looked upon her and found great favor. And she is the mother of our Lord. And she should be remembered for this position. We remember Paul, don't we? Oh yes, we stand up on our haunches and we remember Paul for his powerful ministry. We remember Paul for the great things that he has done. But it is by God that Paul had the ability to do these things. So we are followers of Paul as he follows Christ. That's what he tells us. May we also give reverence and honor and respect for this position also, that God has chosen this path. So now, Gabriel comes to her and he says, you're highly favored. He says, the Lord is with you. He says, and actually, you are blessed among women. And this is an interesting thing, because really what will be told to her next is going to be quite a fearful thing. It'll be quite a powerful thing. But she will handle it. And you can see why God highly favors her. Because she must have at least had some great integrity. Because really what it comes down to here, he says, the Lord is with you, and he's blessed, you're blessed among women. And when she saw him, and she was troubled within, saying, what kind of greeting is this? What can it mean? To stand in one that speaks in behalf of God, to stand in one that speaks so powerfully and comes to you and says, God is watching you. God has seen you. And you are highly favored and you're blessed among women. And that's exactly what the word blessed means, highly favored. And so then, this is the point that it comes to. She is troubled within, wondering, how long will God leave this individual wondering? Not long. The angel turns around in verse 30 and says to her, fear not, Mary, because you have found favor with God. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. How can Mary, as a young girl, go through what she's going to go through? By the strength of God. By trusting in Him. And see, this is the question we have to ask ourselves, even in this Advent season. As a Christian congregation, as a church of God in reality, as one that believes in the finished work of Jesus Christ, what do we portray? Even as individuals found within this kingdom, what do we portray to people? Do we bring fear? Or do we listen to the fears of the world? It seems oftentimes we have a tendency to focus on the fears of the world. We don't know what this government's going to do. We don't understand what the other governments are going to do. We don't know if our money's not going to be worth anything. We don't know anything, do we? And we become afraid. Our eyes get taken off the prize of Jesus Christ, and we have a tendency to focus on everything else around us. But what do we have to fear in Jesus? And this is the reason I speak about it, because Mary had a great opportunity to be consumed with fear, to be consumed with doubt. But if we were to read on farther, we'd find out she wasn't.
She believed what this angel proclaimed to her, and when she receives this word and she goes to Elizabeth and she encounters Elizabeth, we have Mary's Magnificat, where she praises God. We even see within this text that she turns around and she says, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. May He do what He needs. This is the heart. She didn't live in this fear. She lived boldly in the promises of God. We even see just previous before this, Zechariah, he doubted. He doubted and he was struck and silent. God took away his speech. Mary, when she hears this news, she praises the Heavenly Father. No wonder she's highly favored. Fear, it controls so many of us. And it's an amazing thing because we see right here, even in this very same chapter, when the angel goes to Zacharias and he meets him in the holiest of places, he turns around and he tells him straight out, do not fear. Verse 13 of chapter 1. But the angel said unto him, fear not. Don't be afraid. Oftentimes we turn around in this society and we say, well, when God comes, boy, you're in trouble. Or he's going to get you for that. Or you better shape up. But the fact of it is, it says, fear not, Zacharias, for your prayers have been heard. And then we see when Mary encounters this angel, the angel says to her in verse 30, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor in God. It's an amazing thing. And if you continue in the same thought process, and you go to chapter 2, verse 10, when the shepherds are out in the field, and they see this great light, and they hear this great speech being given, the angels turn around because they were sore afraid, it says in verse 9 of chapter 2, and the angels say in verse 10, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Yes, all people. Because it is the hope of restoration. He didn't bring to us fear. He brought to us hope, restoration, peace. And this is what we speak about, even when we deal with an Advent wreath. Peace, hope, joy, love. This is what the season is about. But we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen, do we? Because, you know, a few weeks ago, I'm not good at this, Mark, so you're going to have to bail me out here. But the fact of it is, you know, the stocks have been going up and down, and now we had this great surge is what I was hearing about. So many things that we look at. And if we lost everything tomorrow, we'd live in great fear, wouldn't we? But if we did really good today, would we live in great excitement? What is our hope founded in? And I'm not making fun of that. I mean, hey, we all got to face the realities of the stock market. But my eternal security is not found in that, is it? My eternal security is not found in Obama or for the White House or any other thing. It is in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And this is what we need to understand in the Advent season. It's not about Republicans. It's not about Democrats. It's not about a universal health care. You know what my universal health care is? God. He will heal. And if I gotta die tomorrow, I'm dead. That's just the way it is. Now, will I do everything in my power upon this earth to preserve? Absolutely. I have a desire to live. It's natural. But the fact of it is, my eternal security is secure in Him. And this is what we look at. And so when you turn around and you see the angels were confronted, and it says, fear not, because He's bringing great news. In chapter 5 of the same chapter, the same book, it's very interesting, verse 10, dealing once again with a call of discipleship. Now, after Jesus calls Simon and John, He tells them straight out, fear not, from henceforth you shall catch men. You will be fishers of men. So when God gives you a call and He tells you to move forward, He says, move forward in faith because I am with you. What are we afraid of? Why do we live in this expectation of fear and doom and gloom? Even when He calls His disciples. Even if we looked at chapter 8, verse 50, dealing actually with Jairus' daughter. Here he was called, Jesus was called to his house, and he was on his way, and the daughter died. And they turned around in verse 49 says, and while they yet spoke, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. It's too late. Jesus, he got sidetracked here with this woman with the issue of blood, and he was on his way to Jairus' house, but he just couldn't get there in time. If we could just get there in time, hey? If we could just make this happen, just in time, we could get it, right? But what does the scripture say? Jesus says, fear not, believe only, and your daughter will be made whole. Don't be afraid. Be encouraged, because we are found with the one who is the author and finisher of all things. We are found with the one that gives life and breathes life into his creation. We are found with him. And this is the great expectation of this Christmas season. We can all sit here and say, well, this pastor should be telling me more about the do's and don'ts of life. But the reality of it is tomorrow morning we're going to wake up and we're going to lay in our bed and we're going to have a fear come to our mind. Am I going to be able to do this today? How am I going to make this? How am I going to face this? You will do it in and through the finished work of Jesus Christ. You will stand boldly in the completed work of Christ Jesus, because he has given you this perfect imputed righteousness. And whether you make it or whether you fail, if you call it that, you are still in the hands of the Lord. He will show you the way. And so when you turn around and you continue and see that he has power even over this death, you want to turn around and look even at chapter 12, verse 7, dealing with our value. Chapter 12, verse 7, he says, but even the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are more valuable than many sparrows. God knows you so well. He understands you, and he knows your needs. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your strengths. And he comes and he speaks, not fear, but blessing into our lives, that we would believe and that we would trust and that we would be encouraged. And yes, when we stumble and we fall, that we look to Christ and we get up again, because he gives us that strength. Fear robs you. It robs you of that strength. There's a lot of people that maybe they have the ability to perform well even under pressure, but I think true fear actually robs us. We get tongue-tied, we get scared, we think we're going to mess up, and therefore we don't dare do anything. We become paralyzed. The same chapter, verse 32 of chapter 12. Jesus shares these words. He says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. This is the Christmas season. He turns around and he encourages us that no matter what may be going on, this is the purpose. That we would know him and that we would have this encounter with him and we could live more than conquerors in this world because of his finished work. And then we could turn around and we could say, well, yeah, but what about when things just don't go real well? What about right in the midst of those struggles? It's an amazing thing. If you turn around and you look even at the disciples' life, they followed Jesus for about 3 years. They saw great things. He even shared with them how he'd be put to death. He even shared with them how he'd be resurrected. And they didn't understand. And when he was crucified, they were in fear, were they not? Yes, they were. They were in fear. And so what do they do in this fear? They went and they hid themselves. They were in the upper room, weren't they? Yes, they were. They were in the upper room hiding in this fear. They were not ministering to people. They weren't going out and encouraging people. They were hidden up and held up. But who comes to them? Christ Jesus himself. He comes in the midst of them in the upper room. He does. And does he say, what's wrong with you people? Get your act together. There's souls to save. Get moving. No. I would in the flesh. I'd be angry. I'd chastise them. I'd say, what in the world is wrong with you guys? Don't you know I told you all this stuff before? What's wrong with you? But that is not our God. He enters into the midst in the upper room and he says, peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. The disciples were encouraged. They were greatly encouraged because they had an encounter with Jesus Christ. But Thomas wasn't there, was he? Not the first time. And they were all excited. And you know how it is. When you see that there's a hope, you see that there's victory, you see that you can get beyond this situation, and your family comes around and you start telling them, no, seriously, this is going to take place. This happened. And you could feel the excitement. Now you picture the disciples. We saw him. He's alive. Everything that he spoke to us before is true. He is alive. He is risen. He is victorious over hell, death, and the devil. Jesus is alive. And Thomas says, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. In fact, unless I can take and I can actually put my finger and the print in his hands, and if I can actually see that he's abused and cut, I will not. And that's what he says. I will not believe this. Now, Jesse in his flesh, what would he do? Thomas, you're an idiot. Hit the road. I don't have time for people that don't have faith. Get out of here. That's my flesh. Is that what Jesus does? No. He understands. He encourages. He strengthens. He comes once again and he enters into their midst and he turns around and he says, what? The same message of peace, because there is peace between us and God the Father by the finished work of Jesus Christ. He says, peace be unto you. He says, Thomas, come here. Take your finger and feel the print in my hands. He says, Thomas, take your hand and thrust it. Not just touch. Thrust it in my side. He says, but do it in faith. Do it in faith. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is the Advent season. And the Advent season is each and every day. We're going to go into January, and it's still Advent, and great expectation, and February, March, April, and you know I know my months now. But the fact of it is, it's an exciting time because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And the fact of it is that we can live as victorious conquerors in this world, not fearing every boogeyman out there, but living in the victory of Jesus Christ, because he has paid for my sin debt, because sin is the ultimate separation of God. But yet he has said, I have washed it clean. Do you believe? And this is the proclamation in the Christmas season. Do we believe? And I believe. Praise God for this gift. May we move into this Christmas season, encouraging other people not to just say, oh, it's a good day to have gifts, but to understand the truest gift of all is the salvation of Jesus Christ and him crucified, poured out before me. Though I didn't deserve it, though I did not even think I needed it, he died for me. May we know this message, and may we encourage each and every one here, but not only here. May we enter out to wherever we work, wherever we play, whatever we do, and share this gospel message. And the one thing that I want each and every one of you to know and to believe this day is your sins are forgiven in Jesus' precious name and shed blood. It is a gift of God. May we praise him. Praise him each and every day. As we come to this rail today, may we understand the truest gift of all, salvation by Christ Jesus. In him alone. For unto you is good news. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in our... No, we got communion.